For the first of the split sermons, Mr. Albert Guanamani.
Good morning, everybody. I titled this message, The Gift. It's because I've been given a great gift. I just want to read to you what's on this envelope. Solutions to all of life's problems. How to successfully navigate through all the storms of life. How to have peace of mind. There is encouragement, guidance, and gentle correction in this gift. There's joy. Resolution to conflict. Hope. And there are many, many great and precious promises in this gift. How valuable is it? You know, I didn't pay for this. And this envelope is not even sealed. There's no lock, no combination. There's no steps that have to be taken, a maze that has to be crossed in order to be able to get into it. You know, this gift is mine. But the truth is that all of you have been given this exact same gift, and it's been given to you and me by God. I'm talking about His Word. But there is one thing, however. When you open the back of the envelope, you'll see that what's written on it is application required. You can read the Bible every day. You can look up the meaning of the Greek and Hebrew words. You can memorize your favorite scriptures. But if we don't apply it, if we don't live by every word of God with all our heart and strength, then all you really end up having is an empty envelope. The Bible, by far, has been printed more times and translated into more languages than any other book. And by far, it is the number one book that's sold. Just for comparison purposes, A Tale of Two Cities by Dickens, since its first printing, over 200 million copies have been sold. I can't visualize how many books that is. 200 million. Harry Potter books. Do you know that they have sold more than 500 million of the Harry Potter books? The films that followed have earned over $7 billion in revenue. And the Harry Potter books and movies, it's a huge impact on our culture. Did you know that? There are still writing articles today of the effect of Harry Potter on our culture. The first book came out in 1995. I think it was 25 years ago. 25 years ago. Here are some articles that are recent from the internet. Quote, Harry Potter has transformed American and British culture and cast a spell around the world. 15 ways Harry Potter has changed culture. That's from the Boston Globe. It's from a book, first book that came out 25 years ago that has impacted many. What is the impact of God's word on you? In 2021, research was conducted by the British and Foreign Bible Society, and they have calculated that the total amount of Bibles that have been sold between 5 and 6 billion. Every 10 seconds, 6.4 Bibles are sold. And in addition to that, another 115,055 Bibles are given away or distributed every day. What's the impact of God's word on Jane or John Doe? Just look around. It's just an empty envelope. What's the impact of God's word on you and me? We can read it. We could even memorize our favorite scriptures, but if we don't apply it, it won't impact us, and you will not, and I will not experience or have all that this gift has to offer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 13, we read, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." The word of God is to effectually work in us. It is meant to be deeply implanted in our hearts and minds, to stir us up, to move you and I to action. It is to inspire us to develop the mind and the heart of God. To read, to study it, it's not enough. We have to act on it. We have to internalize it. We have to live by it. 1 Thessalonians 5. In verse 21, in the Old King James, it says, "Prove all things." It means to test by doing. And what Paul is saying, prove or test the worth of the word of God by putting it in your life. Notice back in Luke, just a simple illustration, Luke 14. A man said he had to prove or test something that he had purchased. Verse 16 of Luke 14. Then Jesus said, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' In verse 19, notice this man, what he says. Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test and ask you to have me excused.'" What's this man saying? What does it mean to test or to prove as he needed to do? You see, he made a purchase and an important investment. And he bought 5 yoke of oxen. You know how much you can plow with 5 of those? I would think a lot, if they're good animals. And you know how much you can carry in your wagons with 5 oxen to take to the store or take to the market? Because if they were a good investment, this man would be able to take care of himself and his family. They'd be able to live quite well. Is that our attitude and approach to the word of God? Because what Paul is saying, prove, test the worth of the word of God by putting it into your life. In other words, by applying it. Proverbs 15. In verse 1, we read, "A soft answer turns away wrath." Italians have certain traits. And what does Proverbs 15:1 have to do with Italians? Well, I'm an Italian. And Italians have certain traits. Argumentative, opinionated, sure of themselves, and headstrong, among other things. Now, my mom was born in Italy. She's 100% Italian. My grandfather on my dad's side was born in Italy. I'm Italian. I've even had my DNA tested. I am Italian. And if you were to ask me, have you ever gone all Italian in your marriage? Well, I will answer by saying my wife has applied to scripture a time or two, and it works. She's used it against me because it works. You know, in the middle of that issue or the issues that we've had from time to time, when we didn't see eye to eye, and I'm 100% Italian, she's waved those eyelashes at me. She sincerely smiled at me. And then she said, Albert. And then she proceeded to use this verse. She proceeded to apply this verse perfectly by turning away my wrath by a soft answer. Totally disarmed me. Then cooler heads can prevail. It's a simple illustration, but brethren, if we put God's word into practice, if we live what the Bible teaches with all our hearts, the fruits of God's character can be developed and can be built. John 6. In verse 63 of John 6, Jesus Christ says, it is the Spirit that gives me, that gives life. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That's the impact of God's word that it can have on you and me. What's my attitude? What's your attitude? What's my approach? What's your approach to these words of life? Because if we apply it, if we internalize it, we'll have joy. We'll have hope. In this great gift that we've been given, there is resolution to conflict. In this great gift that we've been given, there are the solutions to all of life's problems. In this great gift that you and I have been given is the map on how to successfully navigate through all the storms of life. Through this gift, we can come to have peace of mind. So how valuable is it? Jesus Christ says that the words, his words, they're life, and how we can have it more abundantly. Deuteronomy 8. Let's begin in verse 2. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. That he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. You know, God wants us to understand something, and I think we do. And that's how valuable food is to us. Bread, meat, food. We know and we understand that in order to be healthy, in order to have strength, and in order to grow, we need to be nourished through food. We know that. And we try to eat healthy, don't we? Because we understand how important food is for our physical health, strength, and nourishment. And God knows that we understand that so that we can understand what he says next. He says, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we've been given a great gift. But what is it if we don't apply it? We don't internalize it. We don't live by it. It's just an empty envelope. We can read what it says. It's full of promises. We don't apply it, test it, use it. What do you really have? Hebrews 4. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is intended to penetrate all the way down to your very heart and mind so that you can discern, or so that you can judge, as other translations bring out, the reasonings of your heart. In other words, affecting the way you think, affecting the way you live. We can read scriptures every day. We can memorize our favorite scriptures, but we will never, ever come to see the full meaning and value of God's word unless we apply it with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. When we live according to the word of God, we are incorporating the mind of God. In Philippians 2:5, Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." How is that possible? By applying, internalizing, and living his word is how that's possible. Colossians 3. Let's begin in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death. Here's some very important instruction. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these. More instruction, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. How are you renewed in knowledge? By internalizing, by applying that gift that you've been given, which is the word of God. Hebrews 5. Notice what Paul says in verse 14. but solid food. What is this solid food he's talking about? It's God's word that we eat for our nourishment, that we eat for our growth. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use. Reason by use, that means applying. Application is necessary. Having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Matthew 6. It's about application. Matthew 6. In verse 6, we read, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." When I was a freshman in high school, near the end of my freshman year, I was in my counselor's office. And he said to me, "Why in the world, Albert, did you take basic arithmetic as a freshman? You should have taken algebra so that then as a sophomore, you could take geometry, and as a junior, trigonometry, and then as a senior, calculus." Well, because I don't get math. In basic arithmetic, I was getting C's. You know what was the death of me? Fractions. They have this thing called improper fractions because they are that. They're improper. And they should be done away with. And you go through that lesson, and then when you do the homework problems, it's just not the same. I couldn't figure it out. You can multiply them, divide them, find the common denominator. I struggled with basic mathematics. And I didn't go all Italian on my counselor, but Italian enough to say, no, there's no way I can get into algebra or anything like that. I'm still struggling with basic arithmetic and these improper fractions. He let me talk, but he didn't listen to me. He said, "Albert, I'm going to put you in algebra your sophomore year." I said, "No, you can't put me in algebra. I'm going to flunk algebra." And the problem with flunking algebra, if you flunk it, you have to take it again. And I could see myself as a senior taking algebra with all the freshmen. And that's embarrassing. I tried to argue. I tried, brethren. I really did. I was intimidated and scared of algebra. I know there's no way I'm going to get this stuff. I'm having problems with fractions. Well, he put me into algebra. So I went home and I did this. I applied it. I remember my first day of class as a sophomore. And the math teacher, who happened to be my counselor, explained to the class how the year would go. He was heavy on homework. Strike one. There were surprise tests and surprise quizzes. There would be a quiz or a test at the end of every lesson, at the end of every chapter. Okay, I'm scared now. So I went home again and I prayed again as a 13-year-old boy. I wasn't baptized. I didn't know much of doctrines and things like that. I'm a teenager. But you know that I aced every test, every quiz, whether it was a surprise or not. And even when there were fractions, not a problem. In my report card, I have straight A pluses for a whole year in algebra. I cannot to this day explain to you how or why. I just know God did something. And you know what makes me laugh every time I think about this? There were three people in that class that were the top of the class in algebra. Two of them were girls. They were the smart ones. I still remember their names, Karen and Debbie. But often when the teacher would complete the class and there was still time on the clock, he would say, all right, you can start your homework for today. And if you have any problems, if you need some help, there's Karen and Debbie and Albert. It happened to me. I can't do fractions today. And I will not try algebra either, but God was very merciful to me. And he took a big weight off my shoulders and a big worry that I had. I had a problem with math. And it was a storm for me. And I navigated through it because of God. Because I applied something simple. And it worked. Psalm 119. In verse 105, David says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What David is saying, it's because of your word, God. And it's because of what you say that I've read, I can successfully navigate all the storms of life. Because when it's dark and it's cloudy and you can't see, it's your word that's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Verse 103 of Psalm 119, David says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know why he says that? Because when he applied God's word, it brought him joy, peace of mind. He had the answers to how to resolve conflict. There is encouragement, there is guidance, there is gentle correction that we find all throughout God's word and many, many great and precious promises. That's the gift that you and I have been given. But really, what do you and I have unless we apply it? Application is necessary to internalize it, to live by it. It's not enough to just read it. It's not enough to memorize your favorite scriptures. It's a great gift to those who apply it and live it. Now, you know that I like very much those old Good News magazines in the church. Listen to this. This is beyond beautiful. This is from one of the old Good Newses. Living the Word of God and seeing its wonderful truths unfold is one of the most exciting experiences available to us as human beings. That is not an understatement. That is true, beyond true. That's the value of what God has given us in his word and what you and I hold in our hands. Through his word, God has revealed every facet of the powerful, invisible spiritual laws he has set in motion to govern every facet of our lives. Love, marriage, interpersonal relationships, health, finance, and success. Living God's word brings deep, rich rewards, both physically and spiritually. I want to read that again. Living God's word brings deep, rich rewards, both physically and spiritually. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5. Trust in the Almighty God, the one who is all powerful. Trust in him with your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. How would we ever know? How would we ever know, brethren, the truth of this promise unless we applied it? God always backs up his promises because he loves his people. Trust in the Almighty God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That's why you'll be able to successfully navigate through all the storms of your life. And that's why you will have all the solutions to all of life's problems. You have it in your lap. It's such a great gift. But what is it if we don't apply it? We don't internalize it. And if we don't live by it, it's then just an empty envelope. And that's not what you and I have. We have a great gift. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, we read all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And literally in the Greek, the inspiration of God means God breathed. It has come out of the mouth of God, and it has been put in print for you and I. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. There's a benefit. It's positive, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. We're not incomplete. We're not broken in any way. We're complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How can we come to know God? How can we come to walk with him? How can we be more like him every day? Well, you have to make this a part of your life. Internalize it, apply it, live it. Because how you think and act is a reflection of the effect of God's word working in you. James 1. Notice what James says, beginning in verse 22. But be doers. Apply. Application is necessary. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. The hearing only is the easy part. You can read the scripture. You can memorize the scripture. You can look up the Hebrew and the Greek meaning. What do you have if you don't apply? If you don't internalize and live by the word of God? Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. I can read what I did to you from this envelope. And if I don't act on it, I can just put this envelope away. Right? But he, verse 25, who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, this one will be blessed in what he does. To have joy in your life is a blessing. To have peace of mind in your life is a blessing. To have hope, to have resolution to conflict, to be encouraged, to be guided, to be corrected gently by God's word, that's a blessing. And James is saying, you will be blessed in all these ways and so many more if you would just apply it, live it, internalize it. Psalm 119. David says in verse 60, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. He applied what he read. He didn't wait till tomorrow or next week or next month. He didn't wait for the holy days to come around or for the weather to get better. He said, I'm going to apply it now. Because he saw the gift that he was given. And he used it. He applied it. He lived it. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. In verse 15, we read, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker. A worker is someone who applies himself to the task at hand, who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A worker is someone whose life is in this book. What are the fruits of all of this? What are the benefits? And what will be your experience? Joy. Not a fake joy that you have a smile on your face, but inside you're dying. The kind of real joy that comes from inside of you, that bubbles out through your face, that affects your attitude and your mind and your heart. That you understand the value of this gift and you're using it. You're growing, you're changing. And there is a deep abiding hope inside of you, looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ returns. You're looking forward to the wonderful world tomorrow. Brethren, peace of mind. Solutions to all of life's problems. You have in front of you how to successfully navigate through all the storms of life. And there's so much more in this gift. What a tremendous, wonderful gift God has given each and every one, that he's given to each and every one of us. But remember, we have to apply it. Application is necessary. We have to live it. Application is required, because if we don't, all we end up having really is an empty envelope.